back on another edition of the BBP. I'm Lindsay Patterson, joined by Cincinnati beat writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer over here, Tyler Dragon. Tyler, another week. Another L.
Yeah, I mean, they do not know how to put a complete game together, and it goes to show for it. 0-4. 4 weeks, 0-4, and Monday night, you never want to put up a bad showing in front of a national audience, and that is exactly what the Bengals did. 27-3 against a division rival. That it was embarrassing, and that is a word that multiple players used in the locker room after that Monday night pitiful performance.
No, you said you don't want to do that on primetime. Well, Tyler, that's kind of the history here when the Bengals play under the lights. The last time I really remember them looking successful in primetime was the first year that Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football came back to Cincinnati. So that's been over almost 15 years ago. So it's been a while. When the lights are out, you close your eyes when you watch this team right now. But how did they get here? Because you look at week one. I'm going to rewind just a little bit. You look at week one, and as some would call it, they said it's a moral victory what they did in Seattle. And I think it surprised a lot of people on the road because Seattle's not a bad NFL team. And then you started to look at some of the records against the teams they were playing against. The Niners game was embarrassing, too. That home opener, you never want to look like that. I don't care who your opponent is. They didn't look like they belonged in the first or second half. And then you play the Bills team, which looked embarrassing in the first half, and then they looked like the Bills were kind of giving them the win, like it's your opportunity to win this game right now, and they failed there. So this was their opportunity. Monday Night Football, you're playing a Steelers team that didn't look like the regular Steelers. You didn't have Ben Roethlisberger. Of course, Antonio Brown's not there, and Le'Veon Bell's been gone for a couple of seasons now. But it's not the same old Pittsburgh Steelers, but they're still the team's Achilles heel. And I don't really compare it as a rivalry. It's a rivalry when the other team starts competing against the other team. And we're not seeing that right now. And I might sound harsh on this team, but they're looking like one of the worst teams in the NFL. How did they get here?
Anytime you're 0-4, you haven't won a game, there's a laundry list of reasons why you have gotten to the place, rock bottom, that you are. Starting off slow, the Bengals have started off slow in two of the four games, and getting behind on the chains and not being able to successfully converting first downs. I mean, third downs, they're 38% converting on third downs, and that's the bottom half of the NFL. And then in the second half of these ball games, they've been outscored 48-27. So that's also on the coaching staff. I mean, what kind of second half adjustments are you making? Because being outscored 47-27, you only played four games. That isn't good. They have a -5 turnover differential. I mean, that's not a winning football formula. They're last in the NFL in rushing. Obviously, sub-mediocre offensive line. Three of their offensive linemen that they thought that were going to play this year aren't playing. You know, you have Jonah Williams obviously out for the year. Cordy Glenn has been in concussion protocol for going on 2 months. Clint Boeing, I mean, he retired. And then they ranked 24th in total defense. They can't stop the run. So it's a whole lot of things. It's a laundry list of reasons why they are 0-4. Those are the ones that stick to my mind the most. But anytime you haven't gotten in the winner's column yet, there are multiple factors why.
I feel bad for Andy Dalton, and I know I get hammered for this all the time. I'm not an apologist. Look, he does need to play better. When you have weaknesses on your line, you've got to raise your game. You're at this level now. You've been with the team for almost a decade. You should be playing better. And I will say that about Andy Dalton. I'll criticize him. He is what he is with Andy Dalton. His best year was when he had his best O-line. Unfortunately, he tried to make a game tackling interception, and he hurt his thumb, and he was out in 2015 when that team could have gone really far. But he had Andrew Whitworth, Kevin Zeitler. Those guys no longer here on the offensive line, and it's weak. I mean, to be fair, Andre Smith shouldn't be out there, but they don't have another option at the moment. You want to hope that Cordy Glenn can come back, but right now, that's a whole nother story, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But he is not returning this week, and we really don't have a timetable when he's going to return when you're going through a concussion protocol. But I feel bad for the guy because he has to go back out there after getting sacked 8 times. That is an embarrassment. I don't care if you're on primetime football. I don't care if nobody in the world is watching you. You should never get sacked eight times. If you're Andy, I'm like, I don't know, coach.
Sacked eight times, hit to the ground 12. Yeah, Andy Dalton hasn't been great this season, but if you're going down the list of reasons why the Bengals are 0-4, Dalton would be at the very bottom of that list. So it's very hard to point the blame on him. He hasn't thrown a lot of great passes. I mean, that interception in the red zone. He's had a couple other questionable interceptions and questionable passes. Overall, I mean, he's a average quarterback, maybe a little bit above average. We all know that. I knew that coming into the job. I knew that watching Dalton from afar. I mean, he's not a top-tier quarterback. He is a middle-of-the-road, maybe a little bit better NFL quarterback. And he is what he is. That he's the best quarterback the Bengals have right now. I know people have been tweeting me and asking me, well, when's Ryan Finley going to play? When are we going to see Jake? You're not going to see Jake, number one. And if Ryan Finley plays, it's not going to be until way later in the season when, I mean, it's completely over. And they just feel like, well, you know, we just want to see what we have. And that's if they go like, you know, 2-10.
You're saying that we might not see him. I don't know. The way this offensive line is playing, we could see Ryan Finley soon because Andy Dalton could get hurt. I mean, the guy is running for his life sometimes, and we saw that in primetime football. We've actually seen it all season long. So Andy Dalton's one of them. And again, we like you had mentioned, he is an average quarterback. We know that you have to make the assets around him better for him to excel. But another group I feel bad for is the fans. They invest in this team. They show up to the games. They still watch years after years after years, and it's been forever since this team has looked competitive. And I feel bad for them because there were changes. Look, the Bengals made a change at head coach. A lot of people were calling for that. They were boycotting. People weren't going to games anymore. The stadium was looking empty because they wanted a change from Marvin Lewis. They got that. But they're still not fixing the issues. In the offseason, when it comes to free agency, when it comes to, hey, even the trade deadline, you've got to make moves. You can't say to me, even though it was said, and again, it could be coach speak, it could be player speak, after a game like that on primetime football, that we have the right guys in the locker room. Yeah, you can say Joe Mixon is the right guy, because he is. He's one of the top backs in the AFC, and I believe that. There are plenty of talented guys on the roster who, yes, should be on the 53-man roster, but there are still weaknesses. And to tell us, or tell fans, tell anyone that you have the right guys, it's false. It's false right now. They have issues, and they have to fix them. And I do believe, I do, and I'll give them credit here, Jonah Williams was supposed to be out there this season. They did try to fix that in the draft. They thought Billy Price, when they drafted him in the first round, was going to be starting on their offensive line. That didn't work out right now. He is back to backup center. But you're still not fixing it. And you can't blame injuries all the time.
I mean, I think the fan base and even the Bengals organization have to look in the mirror and realize this is rebuild mode. They are in complete rebuild mode. I know people are talking about, oh, you know, the AFC North is within reach and we might win the division. No, no, no. They are in rebuild mode. So don't expect them to have a 9-7, 10-6 record even next year. They have to get a roster that is favorable to Zach Taylor's style. He likes to run 11 personnel. That is three receivers, one tight end, and running back. With 11 personnel, you have to have a solid offensive line. They don't have that right now. The defense was historically bad last season. The defense has gotten a little bit better. And so it's hard to for people to realize that they are in real rebuild mode when you have veteran players like an Andy Dalton and you have a Joe Mixon in the backfield, and then you have on defense, you have Geno Atkins, you have Carlos Dunlap. So those are veteran players who have had success in this league, obviously. But overall, your roster top to bottom is just not good enough. It's not good enough to compete at a high level to be one of those upper echelon teams in the NFL. And so, in my opinion, they have to realize everybody has to realize they're in a rebuild phase right now. And that's not a bad thing. But the sooner you realize it, the better.
Yeah, and I think when we get towards the middle of the season, and it's going to be easy for fans to get that mindset, because there are a lot of I'm not getting into this just yet, because I'll be talking to PFF's lead editor, Austin Gale. If we have to talk about the 2020 draft class in the middle of the season, that's not a good thing for any team. But when a team's not in this mode, in rebuild mode, they're just a few pieces away. And I don't think you can say that about the Cincinnati Bengals. Like you mentioned, the way Zach Taylor wants his team to look, his offense and just his defense in general, they're looking a tad bit better from last year. But that's still not good enough, because you look around the AFC North, you got a young quarterback in Baltimore, you got a young quarterback in Cleveland, a young team there. They've been through the rebuilding stage, and Baltimore's still one of the top dogs in the AFC North. The Steelers, yeah, they're older in a lot of areas, but they're trying out Mason Rudolph to see if he will work. They still have a lot of young pieces, too. This team can be good, but they haven't looked competitive at all this season. So to tell me that there's still a chance, or they still have a shot at the AFC North, I don't know what you're looking at. I mean, to be completely fair, there's still so many weaknesses, and it goes above and beyond the offensive line right now. And I want to get to some of the injuries right now. No timetable on AJ Green. I know he was out on the rehab field, or he has been out there on a limited basis, but he's still not in full practice mode with the starters yet. And we were not told, but there were some reports out nationally that he would be back, you know, 4-5 week period. Well, we've already hit that, and he's not back. And it doesn't look like he's going to be back this week, and it doesn't look like he's going to be back for Baltimore. So you're in that stage without AJ Green. Cordy Glenn, it's still a scary situation, a guy you can't rush back. I know people have different opinions on this. Well, that doesn't really matter, because when someone's going through concussion protocol, that's not getting rushed. That's one thing you can credit the NFL on, the way they do that process. I was talking to Willie Anderson about it last week, and he said, we didn't even have a concussion protocol when I played. So, yes, credit to the NFL for that. But it is scary with Cordy Glenn, because now you start to weigh the option of, yeah, he might be able to return soon, to the straight answer from Zach Taylor on Monday, no. He's not playing this week. And it was just a no. And to not see him out there after being limited or working over to the side, that's a scary situation. So you're almost going to the mindset, and I'm going to say it right now, and of course that could change week to week, I would be surprised if Cordy Glenn suited up for the Cincinnati Bengals this year and started.
Okay, well, let me go backwards and let me hit on AJ Green first. The Bengals have told me that AJ Green is week to week. And I believe that, but then when I look at AJ Green and when I talk to other members in the organization, and I'm just hearing rumblings, and it's my opinion as well. If the Bengals keep on losing, if you're AJ Green, why rush back? I mean, are you just going to play to get hurt again? Or, I mean, why are you going to risk your body, risk that ankle on a losing football team? So there are two points to that, because he wants to show the Bengals organization, and quite frankly, the rest of the teams in NFL, that he's still a top flight receiver, and he wants to get that payday. But he wants to get paid when he's healthy. He knows that if he goes out there at 80% and doesn't look like the AJ Green that we are accustomed to, then he's not going to get that $15 million a year contract. So it's dicey with AJ, because it's like, well, if you're him, do you come back if the Bengals keep on losing and losing and losing? Do you want to request a trade? And I'm not saying that he is, but there are a lot of different scenarios I can see this AJ Green situation coming out. He's running right now. He's not cutting. So it's not like he's 100%. He's not. I know a lot of people got excited when I tweeted that he told me, oh, look, I'm running, so take a picture of this and look at me. So I tweeted it, and it was kind of like tongue-in-cheek moment between he and I. But he's not cutting yet, and that's huge when you're a receiver if you cannot cut at this point. So I can see this AJ Green scenario lingering on for a while, especially if the team does not look competitive.
kind of want to go back to the AJ Green situation. You had mentioned, like, why would you come back? And I know fans don't want to hear this, and they're like, of course he's going to tell you that as a media member. But AJ Green's mindset, it's not the first time he's ever been injured and not the first time he's ever come back from an injury, even when this team could be out of it. They decided to kind of shut him down or make him limited after that when they're not in the playoff contingent. Yeah, that's happened. But with AJ Green, and I'll be completely honest, as much as I've been around this guy since he's been drafted to how long he's played for the Cincinnati Bengals, from rehab to working to wanting to be here, I've never met a guy who didn't want to play for this team more. I think AJ is disappointed that he's not out there helping his team. And look, AJ Green, to say that he'd make a difference, and I know that sounds silly because he's one of the best receivers in the game, I don't know, because you look at your offensive line, you look at some of the defensive issues, he doesn't play on the defense, he's not tackling over there, but he wants to be out there. And I do think he wants to finish his career in Cincinnati, but for the Bengals. And they have kept their guys. That's one thing they do, and they do pay them. And I think that they would pay him what AJ Green should be paid and all that's happening behind closed doors. But as a business, if you are in full build, if you're rebuilding this team right now, you could be changing quarterback next year. I'm not getting into that just yet because we're going to see how the season plays out. John Ross is down right now. He's injury prone. You do have a guy like Tyler Boyd who has stepped up. We saw that in 2018. You have pieces like Joe Mixon on the ground. And Tyler Eifert, when he can stay healthy. I like how they're using him. So limited bases right now. But as a business, it wouldn't hurt to bring AJ Green into your office. And look, I don't know if this stuff is happening. To bring him in your office and say, we loved your time here. This is good for both of us. You're going to go play for, you know, it could be a contender wherever AJ Green goes. And I know everybody would be happy for him either way. And we're going to get this back for him. I think you have to, as an organization, as a team, as a rebuild, and I don't know if those conversations are happening with Zach Taylor, you've got to think of it like that. You've got to, even though he is the number one receiver and you do need a guy like AJ Green on this offense, you have to start thinking like a business and where you want to go in the long run, because you're not going anywhere fast with AJ on the sideline.
See, and that would make sense if the Bengals organization believes that they are in rebuild mode.
They're
but
not. They don't
I don't
believe that.
I don't think they
no.
believe yeah. So no. I don't think they believe that. So it doesn't make me think, and it does not want I don't believe that they are going to make that move and make that decision, because they feel as though they are, you know, a couple pieces on offense and a couple pieces on defense away from being contenders in the AFC North again. I mean, but for AJ's standpoint, yeah, I mean, I would not rush back. Yes, I know he wants to play and he wants to be out there. But on the flip side, you want to play healthy, because as an athlete and as you, I mean, you want to take care of your family, you want to have a contract. He's on the final year of his deal. So to go out there and play at 80%, that's not only showing the Bengals, but that's showing all other 31 teams that, okay, well, that's not the AJ Green of old. And they're not going to use the excuse that, oh, well, he's just 80%, so we're not going to give him a huge contract. So AJ Green has to proceed with caution with this. And I know his agent and himself have been talking about that. I mean, there are multiple scenarios how this can play out. We don't know. It's a guessing game right now. But if I were AJ Green, I would not come back until I am 100% healthy. And that is also contingent upon how the Bengals are looking when I am 100% healthy. And then I also want to have these honest conversations with the organization. Where are we going right now? Are we in rebuild mode? Do you see us building a contender within the next 3 years? Because, I mean, I'm talking as I'm AJ right now. I'm 31 years old, and, you know, my prime years are running out, and I do want to play football, but I want to play winning football, and that's the key. That is the key. So there's going to be some honest and tough decisions with AJ Green that is going to go on this year. And it's going to be fascinating to see how it unfolds. So yeah. And I mean, I know we kind of got off on a tangent.
AJ Green is a whole podcast.
Yeah,
that's
a whole podcast alone right there. And we kind of missed Cordy Glenn. So I do want to get back to Cordy Glenn. And I mean, to be honest with you, there is starting to be doubt within the organization if Glenn will play this season. And I'm starting to believe, and it's not, I don't have any hard evidence, I don't have any proof, but I'm starting to believe it's a little bit more than a concussion. I'm not saying he wasn't concussed during that preseason game in Washington, but I'm starting to believe that that concussion has kind of subsided, and he just really doesn't want to be there right now. And that's my opinion. I'm not reporting any facts, but I'm starting to get that sense about Cordy Glenn. And there are rumblings within the organization that he just doesn't want to be there right now.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing. And as I mentioned, with concussion protocol, it's something, you know, as he's going through it right now, it can't be rushed. So it is a bizarre, scary situation, you know, if you're going through it for that long. So that's to be determined on where that goes. As I mentioned, John Ross out 6 to 8 weeks. We don't know if he's going to return. And we could be talking in about 6 to 8 weeks if the team just shuts him down. And I wouldn't be surprised with that. I know I mentioned AJ Green, no matter what, he wants to be out there. And again, the contract extension is to be determined if he stays or if he goes. I think more than likely he is with the Cincinnati Bengals next year. But John Ross, I think that's another situation where you shut him down if you're out.
I mean, you have to feel for John Ross. He's been hurt in each of his first three seasons in the NFL, and he was leading the team in receiving yards and touchdown catches. Still is. Yeah. He's just can't stay off the medical tent and stay off the training room because he's always been hurt, and now it's a shoulder injury. You just feel for it because he changed his number. He had a fresh new outlook this season, and he felt like, you know, a new chapter in his career, and he was performing pretty well. Yes, he was leading the league in drops, and he had some inconsistent moments throughout the four games, but overall he was becoming a solid receiver and a legit deep threat. He had a brilliant game. I won't call it brilliant, but it was an up and down but electrifying performance in Seattle. That's a better word. And you know, he's that type of player for the Bengals where he can make those big explosive plays, and they're going to miss that. You're going to see on Sunday and for 8 weeks that the Bengals are missing a receiver that can take the top off of the defense and have a playmaker who can make those explosive plays. Tyler Boyd's their best healthy receiver, but he's not a burner at any means at all. He's a possession receiver that will catch those underneath routes and, you know, catch those crossing patterns and slants and skinny posts. But overall, you don't have a receiver, a healthy receiver on your roster that can run a go route.
Let's get to predictions right now because everybody loves them. Tyler, this one's a toss-up, and I know we've actually said that the last couple weeks definitely felt that way against Buffalo. Last week I had them losing. I've actually only picked them to win once, and they got demolished at home in the home opener versus the 49ers. I'm going to go, and I'm going to surprise everyone, I'm actually going to go with a win this time.
Wow.
It might be an ugly win, and I think it's going to be closer than the Niners, their last home game, actually. But I'm going to actually take this as a win. I'm going to say about 17 to 13.
17 to 13. Well, we have another battle of the winless for the second week in a row. And sorry, Bengals fans, I am picking the Arizona Cardinals. They are, as you mentioned, two bad football teams. I'm not going to pick the Bengals until they show me they know how to win. The Cardinals haven't shown me they know how to win, too. Yeah, they've shown me they can tie. So I am picking the Cardinals to win one on the road, Paul Brown Stadium, 23-20.
Dropping to 0-5 for Tyler Dragon. I wouldn't be surprised either way, but I'll actually pick a win this week, and it'll be an ugly one, but it'll be a win at Paul Brown Stadium. So we will see. What's up on Cincinnati.com?
So I'm going to have a prediction post in the three keys to the game. So if the Bengals do these three keys, then they will win the game. And a full recap from what happened last week and looking ahead to week 5 in the Arizona Cardinals. So there are a lot of things up on Cincinnati.com. And even John Fay has a piece on the offensive lineman, the much maligned O-line.
Make sure you check that out on Cincinnati.com. Follow along ENQ Sports over on the gram, ENQ Bengals. Next, we'll have the BBP Extra. Lindsey Patterson, Tyler Dragon, joined by NFL Matchups' Greg Cassell. Greg, how you doing?
Lindsey, what's happening, my friend? How you doing?
Not too bad. A lot of things going on in Cincinnati. Not a lot of good things right now, if you've watched. They fell to 0-4 under Zach Taylor, and I know you watched the film. You're breaking it down. This O-line is a mess. Can it be fixed?
Are you playing O-line this week, Lindsey? What's going on?
That would be bad news for Andy Dalton, because he would probably get sacked about 16 times instead of 8. But, Greg, this offensive line, is there any way to fix it?
Well, you can't dramatically change your personnel, so now you get into concepts and what you can try to do, because if you can't protect your quarterback, you can't run your offense. So really, it comes down to protection schemes, the number of bodies you choose to use in protection, and if you start using extra bodies, you end up removing eligible receivers, because there's only 5 eligible receivers. So if you have to use a tight end, multiple tight ends, or a back to block, and you end up only running routes with 3 receivers, that makes it more difficult to run your pass game. But the bottom line is, you cannot get your quarterback hit or sacked, so you do have to go in that direction, and that gives you more multiplicity with your protection schemes, and you'll have to do that.
And speaking of the quarterback, Andy Dalton was sacked 8 times on Monday Night Football, the most in his career. Is it Andy Dalton's fault, too?
There's always a connection between sacks, the O-line, and the quarterback. And then there are times that the quarterback can help an O-line. Andy Dalton is not a quarterback, though, that necessarily hurts his O-line, because he's not a guy who moves for no reason. You know, a lot of quarterbacks in this league will move around when they don't need to, and that clearly hurts an O-line, because every play is built on structure, and an O-line is blocking a particular way based on the structure of that play. So can you pick out isolated plays always where a quarterback maybe should have gotten rid of the ball a little sooner? Yes, but I think overall, he's not the kind of quarterback that makes an offensive line look worse.
John Ross going to the IR. He could return this season. He's one of those guys, you get the good and the bad. No timetable for AJ Green's return. He has been limited. They're hoping to get him back in a couple weeks, but again, no timetable there. Greg, I'm making you play this way. If you're GM or owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, and I've talked about this multiple times on the podcast with Tyler Dragon, would you trade AJ Green?
Oh, you know, well, first of all, you have to figure out what you're going to get. I mean, you're not just going to trade a great receiver, you know, just to trade a great receiver. So that's a hard question. You know, I don't follow the rules of trades particularly closely. I'm sure if they thought about that, they would think in terms of getting a number one pick. But he's not old. That's the thing. I mean, what is he, about 30, give or take?
31.
Okay, so, I mean, I guess some would say he's closer to the downside than not, but he's still a very productive receiver. If you trade him, you're trading with the idea that you're getting enough in return that you feel you can start building something. Otherwise, there's no reason to trade him. You have to feel like you're getting enough in return that it gives you an opportunity to build. Because I'm sure at this point, Zach Taylor believes, hey, at least I'm going to get a couple of years, 3 years here, you know, and the Bengals are obviously not a team that changes coaches quickly. So he has to believe, I'm sure, as a young coach doing this for the first time, that he at least has 3 years to mess around with. And, you know, the larger question is, how do they feel about Andy Dalton? Because if this team ends up in a top 5 draft position, are they going to look at a quarterback?
We'll flip sides right now to the defense. The D-line in preseason and even training camp, we actually thought that was going to be one of the major strengths. They've been able to get to the quarterback just a couple times, but do you think they're going to be able to get that pressure against Kyler Murray?
Well, it's funny. I thought the D-line would be a strength, too. And after week one, I was actually kind of optimistic about the Bengals when they played that really close game with Seattle and that they easily could have won. And I think they've got still have good people on the D-line. You know, so I think that they can become a good unit. Now, when you play the Cardinals, it's a whole different deal because the Cardinals are going to line up with four wide receivers on probably 70% of their plays. So you're going to play a lot in this game with your dime defense with six defensive backs. I assume that's what they'll do, that they'll play with six defensive backs with Wilson being the sixth guy. So, you know, it's a whole different deal when you play against the Cardinals and what they do. They're different, you know, just in their look. Than pretty much every team in the league.
When you look at this defense right now, and in 2018, they were one of the worst in the NFL. There are very few bright spots when it comes to linebackers and secondary, but are you surprised with how bad they've looked defensively?
You know, it's funny. When you look at the secondary, and again, I'm not studying each player as an individual player and charting what he does, but I feel like the secondary should be pretty good. I mean, you know, Kirkpatrick has been a solid player. William Jackson is another first-round pick. He's got what you want at the corner position with his length. They're probably lacking a quality slot corner at this point, which is something that you need in today's game. I really like Jesse Bates coming out of Wake Forest. I think he can be a really good free safety. You know, the only issue that you could argue in today's NFL is their safeties are not really interchangeable players. Bates is kind of a free, and Williams is a strong. And most defenses today, most coordinators, want their safeties to be much more interchangeable. So Williams is not really a back-end player.
Greg, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Is there any hope for this Bengals team? Is it full rebuild mode, or do they have a shot? I mean, you look at the AFC North, or is it just like, look, we've seen enough after 4 weeks, not even a competitive team right now?
Well, Lindsay, you have to define hope.
I know, you know, that's a great question because I think Bengals fans would say, I mean, anything but the way they've looked now. And I actually said that before the season started. You want them to look at least a little competitive. I don't know if the expectations were going to be high.
Here's the way I feel. With a new coaching staff, I always feel like early in the season can be difficult. And I'm not suggesting they're going to go on a run and end up, you know, 11-5. But, you know, I always feel like you have to give a new coaching staff a chance. You know, Zach Taylor's doing this for the first time as a head coach. You know, obviously he was with Sean McVay, but just because he was with Sean McVay doesn't mean he's great. But you got to give him a chance. You know, this is a team that's missing some key parts. When your O-line, you know, if your O-line is bad, you know, and that's the way they played, you know, maybe they think some of the guys are better than they are, but they played poorly. To me, when your O-line is bad, that's like having bad starting pitching in baseball when you're down every game 6-0 in the fourth inning. It makes your whole team look bad. And, you know, they have to be able to run an offense, which doesn't mean they're going to start putting up 30 a game. But if you can't run your offense, you can't play.
And speaking of Zach Taylor being new on that side, and you look at the Arizona Cardinals with Cliff Kingsbury, two offensive mind coaches, who's going to get their first win on Sunday, Greg?
Are you asking me to pick the game, Lindsay? I don't really do
You don't have to pick the game, but who do you feel like would have a better showing against the two offensive mind guys, two new guys on the sidelines?
You know, I probably should know this, but where's the game?
It's in Cincinnati.
You know, I think, you know, I would look for the Bengals to win for this reason. You know, I think it's the kind of game coming off Monday night, and I know it's a short week, but I kind of feel this is the kind of game where, and the kind of week where the players will be pretty darn focused because they just played on national television and they were embarrassed. And I don't think that sits well. So I would expect that this week of practice that the coaches don't need to really get a lot of these guys focused. You're there, I'm not, but I would imagine, you know, that these guys are going to be pretty focused. And, you know, I think that my guess is we'll see Cincinnati win this week.
What's up on NFL matchup? What are you guys breaking down?
Well, I hate to tell you, but we're not doing Cincinnati and Arizona. Is that okay?
I mean, I'm not surprised.
We're actually doing Green Bay, Dallas, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Indy, KC, Jacksonville, Carolina, Buffalo, Tennessee, Cleveland, San Francisco, which is Monday night, and Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Okay, make sure everybody follows along. Where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me at Greg Cosell. And by the way, we'll be putting up a ton of stuff about matchup over the next couple of days, and I retweet everything. So because the times do change every week. But now that we have this, you know, really cool stuff where you can press the blue button on your remote, you can just press the blue button and say NFL matchup, and then you can find it.
Greg Cosell joining us from NFL Matchup. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Lindsay Patterson here with Cincinnati Enquirer beat writer Tyler Dragon. And joined from the other side, we'll get a look from the Cardinals, Bob McManaman from Arizona Republic. Bob, you're in Phoenix. I talked to you about it offline. It was 95 degrees in Cincinnati yesterday. What's it feeling like in one of my favorite cities, Phoenix, Arizona?
Yeah, well, we had a cold spell here. It was like 80, got down to 60-something at night. And today, this weekend, it's going to get up to almost 100. So I guess I'm not helping myself by bringing it with me.
Well, the good news is it's going to cool off in Cincinnati. So when you do get here, I think it might be in the 70s for game day. A little cool action for you in Cincinnati.
I saw rain forecast for Sunday as well, potentially.
And that actually sounds refreshing. We've been dealing with a long summer. I mean, I love Phoenix, but I don't want Phoenix in October in Cincinnati right now.
Right. Of course.
Well, I echo Lindsay's sentiments. Phoenix is one of my favorite cities, too. I have a lot of family there. And every time I go to Phoenix, especially when it's hot, which is often, I go to Bahama Bucks. So I hope you're a Bahama Bucks fan and get their shaved ice because it's perfect in weather like Phoenix.
Good dip. I like it.
And when we look at the game, Bob, right now, a lot of new things when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals and over on the Arizona Cardinals. What are your early impression of Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, I mean, this guy's pretty thorough. He's the first guy in the building. He gets there before the janitor starts at 4:30. Works out, has his Java, coffee, and then starts drawing up plays and going through schedules and I'm sure this guy must have concocted at least 5,000 plays. He was hired. That's all he does. One peek in his office, it looks like a mad scientist. He's got play designs everywhere. And it's just a mess, but it's organized chaos, what I call it. Nobody's going to outwork him. I mean, people might outcoach him, and I think that happened last week by Pete Carroll. And it's going to happen again at the first year coach in the NFL, but he surrounded himself with some very good veteran coaches, Vance Joseph, Tom Clement, a bunch of good position coaches who I think is going to make this work if people just remain patient. And I think the people who matter are the people above Cliff, and I think they will remain patient. So there's a lot of heat on the general manager after 3-13, and now you're 0-3-1. I like where it's headed. I see it day to day. He has a lot of respect in that room, but they've made some interesting roster decisions, and I don't think that's playing over very well with some people.
Well, you mentioned the interesting roster decisions. Obviously, Cliff's number one pick and his prize was Kyler Murray. How are the fans receiving him, and how do you feel overall he's performed in his first games in NFL season?
You know, I mean, the fans here want win, like any fans in any city. But I know they're curious, and the curious has reached a new level because when he started showing his speed with his mobility and his leg, you could feel the energy in the building get crazy. The more he throws to Larry Fitzgerald, the more fans will love him, of course. Because that's what Larry does. But you could get a scent, and we saw it in training camp. You hear oohs and ahs when Kyler would take off. But when he could throw 60 yards, and it looks like he's just flipping his wrist, and I don't use this comparison lightly, and I don't throw it around a lot, but players and even coaches say, Kyler's arm is Mahomes-like. And he throws it from weird angles sometimes on the run, a sidearm delivery, shovels, and then the deep ball and the accuracy, it bit the guy. People have said, Larry's even said, I've never had, you know, some passes come to be as quickly, sharply, or as accurate. And he's played with some pretty damn good quarterbacks. So I think it's still a work in progress. It's going to be But I've been impressed with what the young guys been able to do. I know it's going to get better, but I also know there's going to be a lot more bumps in the road.
Yeah, a lot of times with rookie quarterbacks and young quarterbacks, you see them holding the ball a little bit long. They like to see the play develop before they throw. And it's kind of surprising to me, though, that Kyler Murray's been sacked the most in the NFL. Is that a product of him holding the ball too long, improvising a little bit, or just the offensive line?
Yeah, it's a kind of a mixture of everything. But, you know, the one thing that Kingsbury's harped on is Kyler needed to know when the party's over and just chuck it. And it's because he's such a competitor and he's got that crazy speed where he thinks a dead play, a busted play, doesn't have to be over. I can make something out of nothing. And he's realizing the speed of this game is a lot faster than it was in college football, even though, you know, if, you know, where he played, there was a lot of great players, and he played against some of the best. But it's a different speed, man, and he's starting to figure that out, and he's going to have to get rid of the ball at digit. When there's not a running lane there, you know, he's been taking sacks. The good thing is when he does take these sacks, he's not getting obliterated. It's just a hand touch. There's only been one or two where it's been kind of anything violent, and it wasn't that much at all. So that's the good part. He knows how to protect himself. He knows how to slide. He knows how to get out of bounds. He can get rid of the ball when things break down.
Bob McManaman from Arizona Republic joining us right now, getting a look of the Bengals versus the Cardinals. No John Ross, Patrick Peterson. How are the Bengals wideouts? And they have no A.J. Green right now. Again, we've mentioned no timetable for his return. How are they going to look against the Arizona secondary?
Yeah, I mean, that's a depleted group, too. I mean, the wide receivers here are banged up just like they are in 50. They're down to their third and fourth cornerback. And they just got rid of their stud veteran safety, DJ Swearinger, and are going to start a rookie there, maybe integrate two rookies in there by the same last name, not related. Deontay Thompson, a six-round pick, and Jalen Thompson, who they got in the supplemental draft, going to start at strong safety. Now, they may move Buda Baker up and have him play more of closer to the box and use the Thompsons here and there, interchange them more deep. It'll be interesting. They're not telling us what they're going to do, but I know Buda is more of an active hitter, bumper, even though he doesn't have a great deal of size. It was just a stunner to me that they got rid of DJ Swearinger, who talked himself out of a job in Washington, and the Cardinals claimed on waivers, and this was his second tour of duty here. He's a passionate guy who brings the heat. He was a leader. Something bizarre must have happened. They're not saying that he's done anything. I don't know if he did anything. His play wasn't totally up to par, but you could bench a guy like that to send a message. I don't know why you cut him and then go with rookies instead of him. But, yeah, cornerbacks, it's going to be tough talent. I think as long as the Cardinals can stop the running game in Cincinnati, which there hasn't been much of that, they'll take their chances with Andy Dalton.
Nine players that were out for Arizona yesterday, five were limited. Is there any guy that you're saying that guy is definitely out Sunday versus the Bengals?
For the Bengals or for the
Arizona?
Yeah, the linebacking play has been pretty good. Jordan Hicks and Hassan Reddick have been regularly getting 10 tackles. I don't know if that's that good because people are gashing them for a lot of chunk plays, but somebody has to get an interception on this team because Arizona doesn't have a single one of them. And, I'm thinking Buda Baker, a very active player, and he's a ball hawk. Could be him because he's going to probably play in a funky different kind of role, like a monster back almost. I think he's going to be a roamer and kind of just flock to the ball. Could be Byron Murphy, though. Very athletic rookie cornerback who they picked up in the second round, a local kid who went to Washington and has made some decent plays. Pressed into starting duty with Patrick, obviously suspended. I look at those two guys. And Chandler Jones and Terrell Suggs always make plays. You got the potential game breakers there.
When you look at the Bengals' O-line, they've had major issues this season, struggling with the run game, as you mentioned. They can't get anything going, and if Arizona can stop that, they do stand a chance on Sunday. How are they going to look against the Cardinals' D-line?
Yeah, the Cardinals' D-line is kind of a mystery. It really has absorbed as much of the running game and slowed things down that they think they have. The depth there has been tested. It's been depleted with injuries. They released some people with a training camp we didn't see coming. One of their veteran guys, Corey Peters, missed practice on Wednesday, and they lost their rookie defensive end, Zach Allen, to a shoulder injury against the Seahawks. So they're beat up there. And you've got a lot of depth getting plugged in. And I don't like it, quite frankly. It wasn't good to begin with. And when you got to put that in as starters, you think that Joe Mixon might have a field day against these guys. That's why the linebackers really have to plug that leak. And it's going to be up to guys like Chandler, Dunn, Terrell Suggs, steal the edge and force that stuff in. But when you do that, I mean, he can run right up the gut against this D-line. They have to bring it. They have to bring that thunder hard. I watched them specifically in practice on Wednesday getting coached up very hard by three position coaches. And I think that's going to be a very big area of this game to watch for both sides.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Bob McManaman from Arizona Republic. Who is going to get the W on Sunday, or will it be another tie for Arizona?
Yeah, well, watch it end up in a tie. Yeah, that'll be great. I've already seen one of those. Look, I was racking my brain when I wrote my scouting report. And there's not another game on the schedule right now, in my opinion, where I think the Cardinals have a chance. Let alone, I'm going to pick the win. I picked them to win their season opener with a tie. I picked them to beat Carolina without Cam Newton, and they got beat badly. I'm picking the Cardinals to win by a field goal, and that's just on a wing and a prayer and a roll of the dice. I think it's going to be something like 23-20. I think it's going to be a boring as hell game. A lot of people trying to run the ball, not a whole lot of success through the air, probably some turnovers. Going to be ugly, boring, and no one's going to talk about it.
You know what's going to happen now. It's going to be one of the craziest games we've ever seen all weekend, yeah, and it's going to go to overtime, and they're going to cut a game winner. I mean, all this, nobody's watching, and we'll be like, I promise that really happened in the Bengals-Arizona Cardinals game.
Yeah.
We'll save travels.
And we'll get ripped for saying this. Right? Yeah.
Save travels, Bob. Thanks for joining us.
You bet.